Hey, my name is Lindsay Anderson.
And I'm Ellen Flannery Schroeder.
And you're listening to The Great Estate, a podcast about parenting.
We've got six kids and two PhDs in psychology between us, so we mostly know what we're doing.
Yeah, but not all the time. When our children throw us a curveball, we fall back on some basic parenting principles that are known to promote healthy and happy kids.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. Strategies for navigating difficult moments and keeping a sense of humor about ourselves.
And our kids.
Okay. So, Lindsay, today we're talking about conflict management and resolution. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, as the parent of three children, this is perhaps the hardest area to tackle.
It's definitely one of the areas where you get lots and lots of continuous practice.
That's for sure. I can remember my kids would come to me so frequently. Any of the three of them might come complaining about something that one or both of the others did. I can remember saying at one point, all right, you got to solve this yourself. So I want you to come into this room and I want you to talk it through and I want you to try to resolve this without my help, which, you know, might be a good strategy if they had some foundational skills, which honestly, I don't know if they had at the time or not. And I don't remember how that particular session resolved or didn't. But I wonder if we might be able to talk about what are some of the kind of foundational or beginning skills that can help children to learn how to problem solve conflicts on their own without our help.
Mm-hmm. Or without defaulting to our help first. Because I think sometimes my kids are actually very capable. Right. And kids in general are very capable of solving problems. But it's so much more expedient to go to the adult to solve your problem. And somehow it feels like it confers more authority than for kids to really stop for a second, use their words, label things appropriately, and try and work with their peers or their siblings to manage the issue themselves.
Right. They want us to just fix it all. And even though we might have to be involved a little bit, we might not have to be the one who makes the ultimate decision, but maybe helps to structure or guide them to the sort of ultimate resolution. So back to those foundational skills, you know, I think one of them, and maybe you could talk a little more fully about this, is teaching kids how to name what they're feeling, knowing why they're upset or that they're upset, and being able to label the feeling so that they could talk about it.
I think that I can speak to that, but I do think that you pretty much just said the most important information related to that skill, you know, that sort of slowing your kids down in a moment of real emotional intensity, right? I mean, our kids are swept away by the emotion of a conflict in any number of different directions, and slowing them down enough to say one of two things. Either it appears to me that you're feeling X. It looks like you're really feeling upset, or it sounds like that was really hurtful. And I guess the second approach is tell me how you're feeling.
Right. And I know that there's some research that suggests that being able to put a label to what you're feeling in and of itself reduces that emotion. I think it's a super important skill to teach your kids or to help your kids develop. It's probably a better way of saying it for the purpose of managing conflict, but also for life in general, because it enables you to deepen your relationships when you can talk with someone else about how you're feeling. And also if it's a negative or a dysphoric or uncomfortable emotion, just being able to label it or name it can take some of the edge off of the discomfort that you're feeling.
It also really helps you to think about what are the possible solutions. You know, for my kids to come and say to me, well, I just didn't like it. I don't like the way they said this to me, or I didn't like that they did this to me, to be able to say, okay, well, so how are you feeling about it? I hear that you didn't like it, but what's the feeling behind that? And a lot of the time, there's not a lot to go on. And so then the conversation really shifts to, all right, well, how do we negotiate, or how do we compromise? How do we approach this situation from a different angle so that both you and your friend, or you and your sister, can feel better about the outcome.
I think one of the things that you haven't said, but maybe you're alluding to, is that kids often don't know or aren't able to think through what the real problem is. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like it. Well, that's not really the problem. Why didn't you like it? What was the real problem?
Right.
And I think teaching kids to think that through and identify what really went wrong here is sort of a good place to start. All right, so now we know what went wrong. What moves can we make to fix it? What are some solutions or potential solutions that we can generate that might help to solve it?
Right. And how do we do that in a way that gets us, I think probably to your point, gets us closer to the outcome that we really want, and in a way that both you and the other person feel heard and respected and appreciated.
And good about.
Yeah, actually, you were there because you and I were on a Zoom meeting, but my youngest daughter had a friend over and I was in the middle of a Zoom meeting and they were fighting about how you play the game Moncala. And my daughter was saying, okay, well, the goal of the game is to get all of the beads in your pot.
And
right. And yeah. Her friend was saying, well, no, the goal of the game is to have no beads in your pot and all the beads in the other person's pot. It doesn't at all change the way you play the game, but both of them were really sort of at a gridlock about how to solve this issue. And so, you know, they came over and I said, okay, well, how are you both feeling about this issue? Did you use your words to try and talk with each other about what you might do about it?
And how you're feeling.
And does it actually matter whether you're playing to get the most beads or the fewest beads if the goal is to play together and have fun?
Yeah, I love that, Lindsay, because I think the question to be answered here is this getting you closer to what you want or further away?
Mm-hmm. Right. If you want to play this game, then you being in here telling me all about how you're disagreeing is actually taking away the time that you have to play this game. It's not actually leading to more time and more fun and more pleasure with your friend.
That's tricky.
Managing conflict. Kids. That's figuring out compromise. That's negotiating. And at some point in time, there's also the need to potentially apologize, depending on the situation.
Good point.
You know, so how do you teach your children to apologize when they're wrong? Because much like adults who don't like to apologize when they're wrong,
right,
kids like to apologize even less.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you do that? I think you model it,
mm-hmm,
as one strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to point out, though, you said something about compromise, and then you also said something about being able to apologize. And it just sort of strikes me now that to be able to compromise is to give up part of what you want and or believe in. To me, that somehow, and maybe I'm off base here and not thinking straight, but it seems to me a little bit that if you're going to be a good compromiser, you somehow also have to be willing to sort of concede something, mm-hmm, which for me, apologizing is conceding.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just wanted to kind of connect those two, if they can be connected, that I think the skill of being able to apologize and to concede, I might have been wrong here, mm-hmm, is part of learning how to compromise. So if you and I have different ideas about how something should be done, if I concede a little bit, if I give up a little bit of what I want and move a little closer to what you want, that's compromise, which is critical in managing conflict.
Yeah. And it's really not easy. I appreciate your point about the really significant importance of parents modeling for children how to apologize. Model it with your children. I frequently am saying things like, I told you to put your socks on 15 minutes ago. What are you doing? Only to realize that, you know, the reason my daughter doesn't have her socks on is because she was helping her sister do something that I had also asked her sister to do. And so to be able to say, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you were doing that to help your sister, to help me, to get us out the door.
Right.
Now, can you please get your socks on?
Right. I thought you were going to say when the problem was that there weren't any clean socks because it was time to do the laundry, which
it's
might
really
be the case in my house. But anyway.
No, I think that that's really, that's an important skill and, you know, one that as parents, you know, we should be trying to reinforce and model as much as possible.
Right.
I also think it's a really great thing for parents to be able to ask kids, what are your options? So in the event of a conflict, like, what are your various options? And I feel like I'm constantly doing this with children. All right. Well, one option is you can decide to stay mad at your friend and stop playing the game that you were playing.
Right.
That is an option. You have that choice. You have the option to do what it is that your friend wanted to do and give up the thing that you wanted to do. And you can be mad about that or you can be not mad about that. And so there are two more options. You can choose to do this thing. You can choose to do that thing. So to really work through with kids, you know, you have a lot of different options to choose. And each one of those options is going to come with a different outcome. One of those outcomes might get you, to our point earlier, closer to
what you wanted in the first place.
The thing that you wanted, and might make you feel better. And other options are going to take you in a different direction. Ellen, one of the other things that we haven't mentioned yet is the importance of teaching our children how to calm down in the heat of a moment amidst conflict.
So important. I know so many parents struggle with that. And I find that the bulk of parents are really trying to, and I did this myself too, really trying to help the child calm down in the moment or help them solve the problem in the heat of the moment. That's really what I mean.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, you have to teach your kids how to sort of step back and take a break. And I have one of my kids is really great at this. You know, she will feel something really big. She will come storming in the house and she will just snarl at me as she's walking through the kitchen. But she heads straight upstairs to her room. She plays with her toys for 10 minutes or reads a book for 10 minutes. She keeps her lights off. She just sort of stays on her bed.
How awesome.
And then she emerges again, ready to play, ready to try something new, like letting that situation
right.
come to a simmer.
Well, that means to me she's doing a lot of the things we already talked about, like labeling her emotion and then also having a sort of list. It might be a list in her head, but having a list of things that she knows she can go to or activities she can engage in to help moderate her mood.
Mm-hmm. And I think that as parents amidst conflict, what we can do is to say, what's helped in the past? When you have felt like this before, what are some things that we could do right now or that you could do by yourself to help you think a little bit more clearly about what it is that's going on? Now, having said that, I also want to be realistic about the fact that a lot of the time, conflict between kids is about nothing. I mean, it feels like something for our kids, but a lot of, I think actually at one point in time, it was you telling me the story about kids in the car, maybe they were your kids in a car saying so-and-so, you know, was breathing my air.
Oh yeah, that was mine.
And that feels so resonant to me because it feels like so much of the conflict that they experience is not really about like them breathing your air or
looking
at you funny or the fact that they touched your elbow while they were getting in the car. But it's more about, you know, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I just need a little bit of quiet. Like, how do I think through why this issue is bothering me as much as it's bothering me?
You know, another skill that we haven't talked about is teaching kids how to respectfully disagree with others. I think that whole he's breathing my air might actually have to do with, you know, he's doing something I don't agree with and I want him to stop doing it. So, you know, how do you do that? How do you teach them how to respectfully disagree with other people? And leave it at that, right? Sometimes you and I might not agree, but I certainly respect your viewpoint and I can leave it at that and not attempt to convince you to see it my way.
Right. Or feel slighted because I'm not coming in your direction or I'm not agreeing with you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when it comes to breathing, you don't want to compromise. Breathing is a critical skill. But I think that You know, I think that this is another one of those spaces where parents can model, because this is a sort of pick your battles conversation. And with kids, I feel like we as parents are constantly having to negotiate and make decisions about what battles are worth fighting and what battles we need to just sort of concede or agree to disagree. And I think that the more that we can be explicit about those moments by saying things like, you know, it would be my preference that you went upstairs and took a shower before dinner, but I understand that what you're saying is that you really want to eat right now because you're super duper hungry, and then you're going to go up and take a shower afterwards. It's not the way that I would do it. I think that it's a mistake.
Because you're stinky.
And you're tired, and it's just going to all go to pot afterwards. But I think that being explicit about those things and saying, you know, if this is the way that you want to do it tonight, okay, you know, tonight, that's the way we're going to do it. And we can approach it a different way on a different day.
Yeah. And, you know, you're mentioning how to engage with kids, but I'm thinking as parents, we model it with everyone with whom we communicate.
That's
you know, you're
true.
Modeling effective communication and respectful communication, or you're not modeling respectful communication, but you should be, every time you're speaking or communicating with others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the important skills that kids need to develop to be able to manage conflict is being able to listen to each other, because listening and really understanding, standing in somebody else's shoes, listening to what they have to say, trying to view the problem that you're having from their perspective helps or goes a long way towards resolving the conflict, because it enables kids to be able to say, wow, I was thinking about the situation completely differently. Or to go back to the Moncala game, the problem that your daughter was having with her friend, another sort of potential solution to that would be, let's play it both ways and see how it differs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be kind of cool. We can be scientists and see, you know, what's different about that. So stepping into somebody else's shoes and seeing the problem the way that they see the problem, again, I think is a super important skill
mm-hmm.
that parents can develop in the midst of conflict or outside of conflict.
Yeah, and it's related to so many of the other things that we've been talking about, right? I mean, it's related to naming your feelings, and it's related to compromise, and it's related to negotiating, and it's related to apologizing.
Right.
You know, having empathy and being able to see experiences through other people's eyes is... it's fundamental to conflict management and resolution. So what did we cover? We talked about four main principles related to conflict management and resolution. Number one, avoid the temptation to just swoop in and fix it. You can help facilitate a productive discussion about the conflict that is happening, but don't let your kids off the hook for being active participants in managing conflict. Teach kids to name their feelings and be specific about what's bothering them. Slow down the conversation so that big emotions don't steamroll our ability to be thoughtful, and use observations to help your kids figure out how they're feeling and what specific part of a situation may have contributed to those feelings.
Number two, teach kids how to make choices about what matters during a disagreement. What is getting them closer to and further from their goal? How to respectfully disagree in ways that leaves everyone feeling valued and cared for. And how to apologize when necessary. Model apologizing when you're quick to yell or get upset or make assumptions about a situation. Make apologizing a source of interpersonal strength rather than vulnerability. Number three, don't join the fray. Talk about and teach your kids how to calm down in the heat of an argument. Talk about the importance of stepping back in the heat of big emotions, taking some time to themselves, and to identify strategies to help give big feelings some time to pass or get clearer. Maybe this is taking a walk with a parent, coloring quietly in their bedroom, or playing with a pet. Make a list of things that your kids can do to help them calm down and put it on a wall somewhere so that they can see it and refer to it when they need it. Talk about strategies that you use when you're upset.
And number four, acknowledge multiple ways of doing something. Talk to kids about really listening to others. to take others' perspectives and look at a situation from multiple angles. Acknowledge that sometimes we have to give up a little of what we want and give a little of what someone else wants in order to stay close to our goal, which might be playing and having fun. Conflict management and resolution isn't about getting your way. It's about exploring multiple ways of handling a situation, the multiple outcomes of our choices, and deciding what outcome is most important to us.
I'm Lindsay Anderson.
And I'm Ellen Flannery Schroeder.
And you just listened to A Greatest Eight podcast, written and produced by Drs. Lindsay Anderson and Ellen Flannery Schroeder. Associate producer and engineer was Ian Reyes.
For more information related to parenting for mental health, or to listen to podcasts on other topics, please visit thegreatest8.org.
That's thegreatest8.org. These podcasts were developed by the University of Rhode Island and South County Health, with support from URI, the Rhode Island Foundation, and the Van Buren Charitable Foundation.